always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Since he's shown up to the Lakers, they've only gotten thinner as far as the circles go. And so now it's like, now Rob is going to be in the same summer building out a roster that we hope is at least on track to be a championship contender, building out the rotation behind the starters that he needs to acquire, and also building out the Lakers organization. And all of this, while I'm not necessarily sure what this dude actually stands for from a basketball standpoint, that is where, like, when you speak it out loud, because I was explaining this to Jen the other night, and she was like, how did he get all that? What happened? Like, how did we arrive here? And that's the part that I'm kind of, like, I haven't really fully vocalized it on the pod or even on Twitter yet.
I've heard you vocalize it plenty. I've heard you vocalize it. Don't sell yourself short. I've heard you vocalize
it. It is a daily show. I forget a lot of the things that I say. But like when you hear all of that, like all of the undertakings that Rob is at the middle of, and you're already not all that confident about his ability to pull off what he needs to do from a roster standpoint, but also the building out of the organization, how do you think that immovable object and unstoppable force are going to meet?
Well, First of all, I don't think it's immovable anymore because he doesn't have the same autonomy. He's not answering to the same person. And
yeah.
There's no indication that Mark Walter, based on the way he's run the Dodgers or reporting that's come out, for what it's worth, Ramona Shelburne was on Lakers Talk with me Monday night. Ramona knows the inner workings of the Lakers front office as well as anybody out there. And she said there's already been a few hirings, like nobody that they've announced, nobody that I think at this point they plan on announcing, but you know, people involved. I don't think Rob will have the autonomy or the ability to do this stuff unilaterally. Like, is he going to have a say in the people that get put in a front office around him? I imagine he'll have some degree of say. Like, if it is going to be his front office with him at the top, then it makes no sense for him to have zero say, because then you start setting up a front office and a dynamic that's hostile. And then nobody gets anywhere with that. Like, these people have to be able to work together. But what you're talking about in terms of being able to keep that circle small, and I think in some ways manipulate the circle into remaining small, I don't think he's going to have that luxury anymore. Like, whenever I hear people talk about Rob Pelinka has never operated this way and he may chafe at the idea of doing it, I'm like, well, then he's not long for this ride. Like, I am pretty confident that if Rob is not willing to be flexible along these lines, and, you know, maybe he'll find a way to little finger his way through that as well. But assuming Mark Walter is the owner that everybody thinks that he is, I don't think Rob's going to have that luxury anymore. And if you want to take a glass half full version of this, maybe that brings out the best version of Rob. Like, maybe Rob, with more sounding boards around him, more people to actually incept certain elements of ideas and perspectives. Like, I think it's extremely important that they bring in different people who have no connection to this franchise at all. Like, people that need directions getting to El Segundo. Like, I think it's really
like important. Lon Rosen. No, wait, whoa, hold on.
Well, okay. Lon, though.
No, I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I know. Because I think Lon is in a vacuum, a very sensible, logical, predictable, and good hire. Like, Lon makes perfect sense.
He's in the business ops too. Yeah. He's not a basketball person.
He makes sense for what you're going to ask, but that same thought went to my head as well. Like,
yeah, who'd they hire?
I have zero issues with Lon as a hire. Like, truly, I don't. I think he is very qualified. He's frankly a Mark Walter hire. He's not a Genie hire. He's a Mark Walter hire. They have a long pre-established relationship. Mm-hmm. He has, by all accounts, done very well with the Dodgers. Lon Rosen, though, does remind me of the outside voices and perspectives that I still want, but I have no problem with Lon. again, with the contextual differences of moving forward versus how we got here, I just feel like Rob's goals, I would hope, are going to be much different, not just because he's answering to a different boss, but because you've got Luka Doncic in his prime and a reasonably blank slate to build around. Like, if you're not willing to commit to that, what's the point of even having this job? So I think that context matters a lot, like the differences. And again, I don't think they meant it before when they were talking about, you know, next offseason, next trade cycle, next offseason, next draft. I think it was transparent can kicking because they didn't believe anymore in LeBron and AD. But I think now they're in a place where if Rob doesn't believe, A, I don't know why he has this job. B, I have a sense he will not have the job for very long, regardless of why he's keeping it.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is, I agree that comparing what Rob did at the end of the 80 LeBron era to the beginning of the Luka era, like that is a apples to, I would say, pears, not quite oranges, but pears conversation. But what I do think is a fair comparison is what Mark Walter did at the beginning of his ownership of the Dodgers and comparing that to what we're hoping to see at the beginning of his ownership of the Lakers. And what he did there with the Dodgers was he worked with Ned Coletti. He kept a close eye on what Ned Coletti was doing and then eventually arrived at the conclusion of, like, actually, Andrew Friedman's sitting right over there, and he's kept the Tampa Bay Rays competitive in the division with the Yankees and the Red Sox. If we bring that mind over here, I think we're better off. And I think, and no offense to Ned Coletti and all that stuff. He's still on Spectrum Sports in LA, and I've bumped into him a time or two. Nice dude, all that stuff. Andrew Friedman was objectively the better move.
Yes, I honestly covered those teams. Like I for the LA Times, I actually covered those Dodger teams with Ned Coletti in charge. Actually, Ned was not a bad GM at all. I think Ned was, pretty good, when, especially when you take into account the McCourt of it all, that handcuffed a lot of his decisions. Yes. Like I can tell you from conversations that I had with Ned on and off the record without getting into specifics, there are decisions that he made that were the best ones he could within the parameters of, you can only spend this much, you can't give up these assets, work with that. I think Andrew Friedman is, I think if you ask Ned Coletti, Ned would probably say, you know, while he'd say he would love a crack at being able to do this in the Mark Walter era, Andrew Friedman is better, and that's fine. That doesn't make Ned bad. Like, that doesn't make Ned bad at his job.
Yeah. And I think here with Rob, this off season, and I think the trade deadline afterward, I think those are, he, at that point, he will have had four transaction windows in the Luka era. Mm-hmm. And if the Lakers aren't well on their way to contention after that, or like along a big chunk of the way to that contention, then I do think that Mark Walter, who, by the way, is on the record saying he thinks he might have waited a little too long on replacing Ned Coletti. Mark Walter decides that that is the direction that the Lakers need to go in, then that is the direction that the Lakers need to go in. I wouldn't exactly, be all that bummed about it.
The last thing I would say on that, and I want to make it clear, this is not sourced anything. This is just me thinking about, again, context. And last thought on this, when Mark Walter bought the Dodgers, his group bought the Dodgers, to the best of my knowledge and recollection, that was basically his initial dip into the professional sports industry and owning teams. And I would imagine there was a lot Mark Walter was smart enough to realize, I don't know, and I need to learn things, and I don't want to make big decisions before I learn things, see Ishbia Matt, those type of rash decisions the minute you buy your team, or like Tillman Fertitta made a lot of decisions that he had to eventually have his people unwind. And I think Mark Walter likely realized, I need to let this simmer a bit, learn some things, then make decisions. That was also 15 years ago. There's a right. lot that Mark Walter has learned about since then. He also, I think, was much more informed with the inner workings of the Lakers because he had been a minority owner with right of first refusal if the Buss family ever sold. So I'm guessing he had been paying a lot of attention and has already formed some opinions anyway, meaning I'm not predicting that Rob is going to be out this summer or anything like that. It wouldn't surprise me. I would just say this. It would not surprise me if bigger changes happened quicker with the Lakers, if Mark Walter wants to make big changes, simply because he knows this business better and is likely more confident in making quicker decisions.
Yep. Agreed. Andy, this has been a blast. I looked up and we were at 45 minutes, and that usually is a sign of a good conversation. As always, make sure you guys are subscribed and checking out the Locked On Lakers pod, my old gig. And then make sure you guys are listening to Lakers Talk, which is weekly on 710 ESPN LA Radio. Always a blast talking to you, bud. Hope to keep these things up here as we wrap up the season and try not to sim to it.
Now, we'll do it again, and at some point we're going to have you on in your old house too.
Perfect. All right, so we will go back to we got over the course of that conversation a ton of super comments, which means I get to play this first. All right, so first and foremost, I'm going to slide up here, and holy cow, we have a lot. So first, Justin Tindall writes, and I'm going to kind of rapid fire through these because we have Harrison and me talking about this tomorrow, and I'm tired, but let's go ahead and dive on into these. So Justin Tindall kicks us off with, JJ is ham 2.0. Actually made me laugh that Marcus was going to check in, but Rui hits a three and JJ says, nope. LD close to 100 Laker games with no improvement. LD. Oh, Luka. Well, on the Luka front, like, he's at the part of his career where you kind of are who you are. Now, what I will say about the JJ thing was, like, it was so predictable. Like, when he ended the first half with this lineup, I red flags and bangs and whistles started going off in my head. It was like, don't do it. Don't do it. And then, we were like, they leaked a couple of points, but it wasn't brutal. I think this is the lineup that JJ Redick legitimately believes in the most. And which is really weird because this guy is supposedly this analytical basketball mind. He's this guy who is a facts over feelings guy and all this stuff, chat, GPT Riley, all that. And yet for some reason, he just will not quit this lineup. And so when they ended the first half with it, I thought to myself, there's no way, right? And then the sub patterns was kind of breaking in that way. And then, like you're saying, Justin, Rui hit that three as Marcus was walking to the scorers table. And I was like, no way, they're going to do this, huh? And lo and behold, a lot of the same problems that has ailed this lineup all year kicked right back up, and they wind up losing the game. So great. Fantastic. I saw a comment. I'm going to go ahead and delete you because you don't get to talk about my wife. All right, so we're going to go back up here. Justin's, all right, so Intel is a wild. Fuck Boston, agreed. Justin Tindall, Peyton Pritchard shot 2 of 13 tonight, 0 of 5 from 3. Well, it helped that he wasn't guarded by Austin. I kid. Or do I? But no, like, here's my thing. And it goes back to the culture thing that kind of has bothered me all season, but especially in that game against the Celtics there. All of those Celtics seem to understand the assignment. They all seem to understand that, like, this is the Lakers. We are going to hand check. We're going to pick up full court. We're going to drive on these people. We're going to push off. We're going to, you know, push in the back on offensive rebounds. We're going to set illegal screens. We're going to do all of these things. And we're going to do those things because we know that the Lakers are going to bitch and whine and moan their way out of this game. And most importantly, we're going to do those things because we, as the Boston Celtics, care about this rivalry. And they, as a group of mercenaries, do not care about this deal. And it was very apparent there. So, like, Peyton Pritchard showing up for that game, given that he was drafted by the Celtics and given that he's been developed by the Celtics and given that he's won a championship with the Celtics, him caring about that game and elevating his game to that moment doesn't exactly surprise me. But, like, as far as, you know, his performances, like, Jaylen Brown didn't even play tonight. So, yeah, like, you know, The Celtics understood the assignment. The Lakers didn't. Let's see. Intel, I don't trust this team anymore. Paul QT2OK, how long is Pelinka's leash until he is let go? That's the giant question here, isn't it? It's like, how... how long should his leash have been to even allow him to get to this point? And this is kind of the crux of the conversation that Annie and I had, because for the vast majority of teams out there, the, you know, a GM or a president of basketball operations winning a championship, landing LeBron. Well, I'm not going to give him any credit for LeBron, because LeBron specifically said he wanted to go to the Lakers. And if there was anybody that LeBron wanted to work with, it was Magic. It was not Rob Pelinka. So we're going to set LeBron off to the side. But Rob did resuscitate those trade negotiations with the New Orleans Pelicans after Magic Johnson took a blowtorch to those deals. So he brings in Anthony Davis. He tries to acquire Kawhi Leonard. Does not acquire Kawhi Leonard, builds a roster in that one offseason, wins a championship. So far he's acquired one superstar, won a championship. Then a few years later, he acquires Luka Doncic in, you know, heading into his prime for a, you know, shop at Ross kind of price. So for the vast majority of fan bases, the vast majority of organizations out there, you would say, that's enough. That guy's a made man. You know, like, think of how thrilled the Sacramento Kings would be with that five-year stretch. Thing is, the Lakers market themselves as exceptional. They market themselves as, we are not the Kings. We are not the Hawks. We are not the vast majority of the only team that we consider a rival of ours is the Boston Celtics. And the reason that we consider them a rival is because they have one more championship than the Lakers do. You can get into, like, championship trophy, you know, counting debates and stuff like that. That I don't care about that. But to me, it was like, it's just. You don't get to say you're exceptional. And then when you're questioned about, like, not holding your front office to exceptional standards, you bristle at the questions. And that's what they do all the time. Whenever I ask people, like, hey, why does this guy just, like, get chance after chance after chance after chance? Like, why are we still here doing this? You know, the constant response is, over there. And it's like, okay. But since 2020, so they win a championship in 2020, you get the 1 year there. We know where this season is probably heading. So in the seven seasons, including the 19-20 season, to the end of this one, where we're probably heading towards another first round exit. We'll see, but probably. That would mean that you won the one championship, you made a Western Conference Finals, and in the other years other than that, you were either booted in the first round or you didn't make the playoffs altogether. And you did all of that. You were booted in more seasons than not. You either didn't make it to the second round of the playoffs because you were booted in the first round, or because you didn't make the playoffs at all, while you had some combination, not one of, but some combination of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Luka Doncic. And so, like, yeah, the highs, great. That's great. Congrats. The lows, well below Lakers standards, well below Lakers fan standards. And the Lakers not understanding that when I broach the subject is kind of sort of the problem.